Once upon a time, in a world with faith and fairness, there was something hidden.
Down the boundary! He's gonna go! Broadcast lead!
Pitch on the way from Mikolajczyk.
Swing and a miss! Mikolajczyk gets the strikeout! And for the first time in school history, the Bearcats are going to the Super Regionals!
Get ready for a next level show.
Welcome to season three of our podcast, and we've got a good one to kick things off. We're going to welcome Will Holcomb into the studio to talk about his performance at the North and South Amateur at Pinehurst recently, as well as his decision to come back for another senior season, kind of what the thought process was for him, and let him kind of get into that for you. So it should be a good one. Will's always fun to talk to. This is something I'm looking forward to. We'll be back in just a moment here on Chasing the Cup. Season tickets for the 2020 football season are on sale now. Secure your seats today and ensure you have the best view as the Cats look to claim a Southland Conference title. The Bearcats will play five games at Bauer Stadium this season, and as always, your season ticket will guarantee your spot at the Battle of the Piney Woods. You won't want to miss the action at NRG Stadium as the Bearcats look to make it 10 straight wins over SFA. To purchase your tickets, log on to GoBearcats.com/tickets or call the Athletic Ticket Office at 936-294-1729, and we will see you at Bauer Stadium this fall. Eat 'em up, Cats! And welcome back to Chasing the Cup. We're now joined by Will Holcomb, and Will is just coming off of a run at the North and South Amateur at Pinehurst, and we'll get into that in a little bit. One of the things, Will, that I want to start with on you, certainly it was a weird spring. You guys didn't get a chance to finish out your season. Y'all still had three tournaments on the table, plus you had conference, potential NCAA, and how difficult was that? And it, you know, at what point did it really sink in that y'all weren't going to finish the year?
You know, I'm not big on jumping the gun on, you know, when stuff happens. I'm more like, let's sit back, really let's let the water settle, and then we can, you know, see clearly kind of what's going on. So, you know, when I first got the call, or when I first called coach and we were talking about, you know, Lafayette being canceled, I was like, that's crazy, you know. But, you know, I was like, a week or two, you know, I mean, the news, it's so, I mean, you can call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever, but it's like just so up and down and crazy, you know. Like, I just don't believe anything until like it settles down and I can see clearly kind of what's going on. So I just was like, okay, well, just get a little, you know, I get to enjoy spring break. And I was kind of frustrated, you know. I was playing I was trending in the right direction. And you know, I had a slow start to the spring, so I was really looking forward to the next term. I thought, you know, we can get it going here. I can start putting myself in contention, and you know, it's time to get it going again.
Obviously a tough situation too, leaving a lot of unknowns this past year being your senior year.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, not knowing basically what your future was going to look like. And, you know, there were certainly a lot of questions about how the NCAA was going to handle this and what they were going to do with seniors and everything like that. And, you know, ultimately it came out that they, for the spring sports, they were giving seniors the opportunity to come back for, you know, whatever you want to call it, a super senior season. And they gave the seniors that choice, and you chose to come back. What was that decision-making process like for you? Was it an easy one? Were there a lot of conversations going on there? Just what ultimately got you to that decision?
So, you know, a lot of it was, you know, just kind of thinking rationally. I planned on turning pro as soon as I graduated. But when I heard that there's talk of this, you know, redshirt corona is what they call it, I was like, man, that would be awesome if they really canceled the season. Because they said, you know, we're canceling, but I was like, yeah, they might, you know, reverse it or whatever when everything kind of calms down. But, you know, whenever I heard they're for sure canceling and they're going to give another year. I mean, I talked to Coach like every day about it because I was like, you know, what are they going to do? You know, like, have they let you know? Are we for sure coming back? He's like, you know, telling me, well, Sam Houston, you know, we want you back, you know, and it's just a lot, you know, because you've got, it's like government. You got the federal and you got the state level. And then local, and, you know, Coach is local, and Coach Williams is state. So it's like just trying to figure everything out and make the decision. Once everything was kind of put on the table and I had to make a decision, like, am I going to stay? Am I going to go? It was pretty easy. I mean, I basically have three options. One, I could turn professional where, you know, the economy's bad and, you know, professional golf, everybody wants to play right now because nobody's been having any income, so it's going to be tough. Then, two, I could go get a job and, you know, continue to practice, which is probably not going to help me become a better player. Or three, I could go back to the program that's made me from just a small-town kid in Crockett to, honestly, I mean, I feel like I can compete against anybody in the world. And so it was pretty easy once, you know, you kind of laid that out. I was, you know, really looking forward to I'm really bummed out still about not getting to finish up my season with Noah. I mean, he's one of my best friends, and, you know, I was really looking forward to that. But, you know, he has a great thing coming for him too, so I understand why he's, you know, not coming back. But he honestly had – impact on my decision for sure, but you know, there wasn't really too much to think about, to be honest. I mean, once you kind of look at everything, like, what are my options, how can I, you know, set myself up best. The PGA Tour also is doing PGA Tour U this coming year, which is very great for college players, you know, to have guaranteed starts on the PGA Tour. And then on top of that, the Walker Cup is in May, which I didn't even really know what that was until, like, last year. But if you can make the Walker Cup, you're guaranteed a couple starts, they say. I don't know who they are, but that's what they say. So it's pretty easy decision after looking at everything.
Let's talk about just your golf career. And, you know, you kind of touched on it about not knowing what the Walker Cup was. And I know that was kind of a joke last year at the U.S. Amateur when you were asked about – you know, getting a spot on the Walker Cup team. And you were like, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know what the Walker Cup was. And, you know, for the national golf audience and for those reporters there, they were dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. You know, they couldn't believe that somebody who was advancing to the level that you were, and here you were a semifinalist at the U.S. Amateur, and the Walker Cup was not something on your radar. Just talk about just – for you, the progression and your perspective on the national game and everything like that from the time you started school, coming out of Crockett High School, to where you are right now 4 years later.
I mean, I would say being from Crockett, I was definitely not – I'm not going to say I didn't have an idea what the real world was about, because I definitely did. I definitely know how good professional golfers are. You know, I played in national level tournaments as a junior golfer, and I've heard of the Walker Cup, you know, but I didn't know, is that an individual tournament, team tournament? I didn't know how they pick the team. You know, I'm not really into that. You know, I try not to, it's like rankings. I try not to look at them. I just try to control what I can control, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. But, you know, I know what All-American is more than I know what a Walker Cup, you know, player is, but I had heard of it, but, you know, I just never really knew exactly, you know, I didn't know the ins and outs of it. And, you know, that you have a team, it's run by the USGA and the RNA, and it's basically a Ryder Cup competition. I just kind of didn't really know that part. But
from your standpoint now, you know, when you look at your growth and kind of what you wanted out of golf when you came out of high school compared to now, what you want out of golf, has that changed any?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
How so?
When I came out of high school, I wanted to be a professional golfer. I wanted to be the number one player in the world, you know, just richest guy, you know, all that stuff. And now I think I want to use golf as more of like a platform to be able to do the things in the world that I want to do. You know, I want to be a husband and a father and a leader and a Christian way more than I want to be a professional golfer. So, you know, that's kind of where my priorities have changed, I guess. You know, with what I want out of golf, but I want to be able to do the things in life. Like, you know, I want to have like a camp. I really have a passion for hunting, like way more than I do for golf. You know, you never have a bad day hunting. You have a lot of bad days golfing, and you never lose when you hunt. So it's a lot more fun. But I'm, you know, my goal is to be able to have like kind of like a camp for kids to come to and to take them hunting. And, you know, that's where I get to be doing what I love, but also like ministering to kids. And just kind of, I'm really a big fan of the Robertson family, of Duck Dynasty. I listen to their podcast a lot. No offense, more than yours. But no, they're awesome. And their Unashamed podcast is great. You know, they talk about hunting, but, you know, they talk about their faith too, which is, I really admire that. So. It's great.
You know, I think, and a lot of that came out last year at the U.S. Amateur when you were getting asked about, you know, what would you rather do? You know, would you rather be, you know, hunting, and, duck hunting or, you know, on the golf final, course?
Well,
and I think people were surprised at your answer.
Well, the question by Curtis Strange was, would you rather be duck hunting or in the semifinals of the USAM? Oh, well, he said ducks coming through the flooded timber. Okay. Honestly, when you look at it, you sit down and cut it in half, I'm 50-50. I could go either way, semifinals or ducks coming through the timber. It depends on how many ducks are coming through the timber, too. I mean, if there's only two, then, you know, I'd rather play in the semifinals. But, I mean, it was a half-hearted, jokingly response. But day-to-day, I'd rather be duck hunting than golfing for sure. I mean, it's just, you know, you wake up in the morning, it's cold. You got your dog and you're out there with your buddies and you're hanging out. I mean, you just can't beat it.
I think one of the things that also came out, certainly something that we knew who had, you know, kind of been watching you play and been around you, and but the country got a chance to see your personality and the, mm-hmm. the person that you are. And, you know, you had it all on full display. It was on Fox. I mean, it was really fun to watch just the way you interacted, not just with the media there, but with the people there and your caddy and everything like that. And I think a lot of people got to see a different side of you, mm-hmm. And maybe a different side of golf that you don't normally have access to in golfers. What was that experience like?
I mean, last year, I don't know if it was the cameras or what. I mean, I'm definitely animated, definitely that same guy day in and day out. You know, when I'm playing with my buddies in Crockett or whatever, or in Conroe, or, you know, just playing with my teammates. You know, I'm talking to the ball and that sort of thing. And I think the cameras brought a little bit of that out. And Keith probably brought a little bit of it out too.
That's your caddy, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, Keith Silva. But I would say, like, you know, this week was different. We weren't, like, last year, we were having a great time. And I think it helped. There's pros and cons to each. I think last year we were, like I talk a lot about, like, you kind of have a line and, like, you have a think box and a play box. Well, I think there's a third box, too, that's, like, between shot box. And I think that box was really highlighted last year at the AM. And then this week, I think it was a lot. We were really focused at the North South, and you know it was fun because you're winning. Winning's always fun, but it was a lot more serious. We're more locked in, and I think it was almost too much. I think we might have played better if we weren't so. You know, if we had more of that hangout box, you know, that third box, the between shot box, but we were just, you know, trying to win a golf tournament. But no, I mean, that's definitely who I am. You know, you've been around me just hanging out with the guys or whatever. I'm just, I don't know why, just That's the way my dad is too, kind of. So just, you know, always having a good time, joking around, and, you know, practice hard. But at the end of the day, you know, it's just a game.
Well, let's talk about this week at the North and South, of course, at Pinehurst. And that's kind of become a nice little course for you. You know, one of the most famous courses in golf, and you've kind of made it your home away from home. What has worked for you at Pinehurst?
So one thing about Pinehurst, I just want to say before we start talking about the course, you might have to repeat that question, but Pinehurst, the people there are awesome. And I mean, they're so gracious and kind. And my buddy Randy, I stay at his house when I go, and it's just great to be around people that they want you to succeed. And they're just, I mean, they do anything for you. You know, it's like he's like, you want some more food? I'm like, no, man, I've eaten like 3 plates here. All right. You know, I don't need any more food. Okay. It's just like kind of that hospitality and just the people around there. You know, they don't need to do anything for me, but you know, they come out and they support, and they, you know, and you know, this young man comes up and he said, hey, you remember me? You know, I walked with you at the AM. And I was like, there's so many people, but I'm like, what's up, man? Like, thank you for, you know, coming out. And, you know, we ended up going and playing after the North South, the day after, the 5th. So, you know, it's an awesome place, but you might want to repeat the golf question.
Well, just, you know, and I think you kind of answered part of it there, where you just talk about the people and the mm-hmm. surroundings and the community. What about the course suits your game?
Okay, so the course is, it's my favorite golf course. And Keith says, if you don't get chills on the back of your neck when you're standing on the first tee at Pinehurst number 2, he said, you need to go somewhere else. He says,
I had them just walking out there. I mean, just no, walking onto the course last year, and you look around and here's, you know, the statue of Payne Stewart, and you know, all of a sudden you're seeing these video images, and you remember seeing Stewart making the putt, mm-hmm. and you know, just all of that. You know, I'm sure it can be overwhelming.
I mean, it's a beautiful course. There's nothing like it. The way that the green complexes are super challenging. I think the hardness of it, how hard the golf course is, I think it helps me because I'm a little bit, I don't know, I've never been tested, but I'm like, I'm just ADD kind of, like, I just am like all over the place. And so I think it's like, it's so hard that you have to focus. And so it kind of hones you in to, you know, you really need to lock in on this shot. And there's other golf courses like that, of course, but it just kind of fits my game too. I don't necessarily hit my driver the straightest or the farthest, which is kind of a bad combination. But out there, I mean, you don't have to hit the fairway, and you should still find your ball and grind it out. And I think just with how hard it is and the green complexes and growing up in Crockett where, you know, you're not going to get great conditions all the time, and you've got to learn how to hit different shots, high, low. And it's just a shot maker's golf course. And so I think that helps tie into kind of who I am. I'm a grinder, and I think – some of my success on it is just straight due with match play, because I'm a grinder and it's a grinding course. You know, you don't have to make 10 birdies to win your match. Although if you do, you're probably going to take care of your match pretty early. But no, that, I think the difficulty of it, the short game and just the kind of, you can't give up out there because it'll bite you.
And you hadn't had much match play experience before last year, right? So
I played in the North South last year, and I made it to match play. And I played a good friend of mine, Cooper Dossie. He plays at Baylor, and he strummed me. I mean, it was like I got beat like 5-4, but it was like I could have just not even played, and we'd have had the same match. And I just was like, I don't really understand it. And so in the AM, I remember I helped these kids. I was the captain of a Southern Texas PGA versus Northern Texas PGA. They're two different sections. And so they come together and they have a competition. And these kids are between like 11 or 12 and, you know, 18. And they're all good players. They all qualified. And so I was the captain. And so I saw their match play. And so I learned a little bit watching them play match play because it had nothing to do with stroke play. Their matches were straight. We're going to – this one versus this one. And honestly, I think that helped me seeing that, coaching to that. And I remember telling one girl – in fact, she's coming to play at Sam next year. I probably can't say her name, you know, compliance. But I told her, I said, look, I said, you're down right now. You need to make a decision that you're going to come back and win because, I mean, they're not going to give you anything and you need to just – let's just buckle up and let's just get it done. And so, you know, in the first match in the USAM last year, I was 4-10. There's a 2% chance of people winning that. And this week when I was 4-10, I was like, they still have 2% chance, so you need to hammer down, you know, which is kind of funny. Like, I was just, like, thinking, like, you can't be the other side. You can't be the 2% and then win. So, but I remember I was 4-0 and I said, like, you need to, this is, you got to change. Like, we got to get going if you're going to win. I mean, you made it to the match play. That's cool, but we got to get going. Somehow I did get going. The guy also didn't get going. And so I won the match and then I talked to my instructor, Brad Larden, about, you know, how to play match play. And he gave me some tips. I'm not going to release those tips on here, but just the way you think and the psychology of it. And I think the reason also I played so well, I was having such a good time at the AM last year. And even this year, it's like, even if I don't have a good lie or something, I'm never going to let you know that. Even if I'm screwed, I'm never going to let you know that. You're going to think, you know, I don't ever want to show you my emotions because it's the psychology of beating you. And so it's different than stroke play. I think it definitely plays into my hands for sure. Emotions are hard to keep quiet on the golf course. And so I think when you understand that part of it, it helps a lot. And so
in the finals, you know, talking about emotion, you know, you're in a tight match and you chip in on 11. And it evens the match, and I saw some video of it. You know, you gave a good fist pump and really kind of, you know, let it out a little bit there. And is that something that match play can kind of bring out in you a little more than just maybe a stroke play tournament?
I think, you know, I think match play brings out. Are you talking about the fieriness or the chipping in or what?
Just all around, just you know. How your approach is and, you know, the mental side of it compared.
So I think in match play, it's good to show 50 emotion is what I call it, the 50 good emotion. You don't show the other 50, the bad emotion. So, you know, I'm all for, you know, getting fired up. I think it's hard to kind of come back down from that. And I think, you know, you got to be just as locked in on the next shot as you were after you made that chip. And, but – no, it definitely, I mean, you don't want to lose. You know, the first hole, I don't know if you saw coverage of it. The first hole, this guy makes like a 60-foot putt. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, you know, what's going to happen now? And I was like, all you can do is make this. And I just visualized it, and I hit it, and it was like 10 feet out. I was like, that is in. I start walking to it. I was like, it gave me chills. It gives me chills thinking about it. I was like, I mean, what if I'd have missed after walking? That would have been so embarrassing. But I was like, that's going in. And I was like, come on. You know, I was like, let's go. Like, I'm ready for this.
And that was after his 60-foot putt?
After his 60-foot putt. I made like a 50. Like, I was barely inside of him. And, you know, you're in the final match and you're like, you know, thinking about, you know, what he's going to do or, you know, whatever. And he just buries it. I'm like, okay, well, you know, here we go. So. But no, it definitely brings out the emotion, and it's like, I mean, if you're in a playoff and you hit a great shot, you're gonna be, you know, look at Tiger when he played like some guy in the, I forget where he played him, but it's a PGA Championship, and he like points at the hole and starts walking to it when he gets it. But they're in a 3-hole playoff,
yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just like if you're in a playoff and stuff like that, like it's different. Like if you're in stroke play and you chip in, you're not gonna get that crazy, not unless it's for the win on the last hole. But no, it was pretty fun.
Well, you have had a ton of success at Pinehurst. Mm-hmm. I think your match play record is 8-3 there. Is that what I?
Yes,
I think I saw that your match.
I wish it was 9-2.
So this year's USAM is going to be in Oregon.
Yes, sir.
How does that set up different for you?
I think the weird thing is there's not going to be many foreign kids playing in it because the COVID. Because if there was, I'd be a lot more worried. There's going to be some kid from Ireland or something. They play on that stuff every day, all day. You know, the wind's blowing 100 miles an hour and his ball's bouncing around. And so, you know, at least it's just Americans. But, no, I think it's going to play good because I've heard that it's kind of a second-shot golf course, kind of like Pinehurst. There's not a lot of rough on it. You know, the wind's going to blow. Conditions might rain. Who knows? I mean, it could be just brutal, you know. And I'm really looking forward to going out there in August because the high is 65 for the month. So I'm going to, have my pants on and that sort of thing. But, no, I think it's going to set up good for me. I think I'm a big grinder, and it's going to be the best USAM they've ever had. Even though, I mean, it's just, you know, there's so much going into it that, you know, you can't play qualifier. And so the best players in the world are going to be there, every single one of them. And so I think it's going to be a challenge. The reason I went to the North-South was for the USAM, because the way I looked at it was, okay, I'm going to play another year. I'm for sure going to play the USAM. Pinehurst, I'm supposed to win. I'm supposed to play well there. That is what everyone's going to say, you know. And so just a little added pressure and a little to kind of help me, you know, get ready for the USAM, like making the match play, just making it. Especially, I mean, at the North-South this year, I would say that the North-South field was probably almost as good as – probably wasn't almost as good, but it was really good field. Like, if – there's 312 players in the USAM. There was 120 in the North-South. In the USAM, 64 make match play. In the North-South, only 32 do. So what I'm saying is proportionally-wise, the field, in my opinion, was just as good at the North-South as probably any tournament because everybody is stuck at home. They're ready to play golf. You know, they've been sitting here practicing and working on their game for 6 months, and, you know, everybody wants to get into the USAM, and, you know, everybody's just trying to play competitive golf. All the kids from California, I don't think they have tournaments out there. They're coming and playing at Pinehurst. And so it was the best, for sure, I'm pretty sure one of the best North-Souths ever. And it was a good – that's why I went. I wanted a good prep for the USAM where I can see match play, where I can be at a place where I've succeeded. You know, all these people are there. You know, I know they're friends of mine, and, you know, they want me to win. So it's kind of like – it was a really good prep. And so that's why I decided on playing there. And so I think that'll help me going forward for the USAM.
How much competitive golf have you played since the college season ended?
I play every day with friends, and I hate losing my friends. but, no, I haven't played any – tournaments except for I played one tournament right before the North-South. Played terrible the week before. I drove to South Carolina and then I drove up to Pinehurst, and I think I got like 45th in the tournament, something. I mean, just like I was so frustrated. But
was that your first time out?
That was my first time out, and I think that was kind of part of why I struggled. And so I think that really helped me know, you know, I just got better at, you know, what do I need to do to play well at Pinehurst? And so I really think that kind of sparked a good start to getting the summer rolling.
I'm interested to get your thoughts on this because, and you see it across a lot of sports when people talk about, you know, the difference of going, you know, to a professional level and playing. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is just the crowd and the atmosphere, and the stakes are much higher. And, you know, while this isn't a professional event, you're going from college golf week in and week out here, mm-hmm. no galleries. It's just you and probably three or four other people, maybe couple sets of parents.
Like Coach says, he's our biggest cheerleader.
Yeah. And that's all you have to contend with. And then you get to, you know, the North South, the USAM, and you've got the galleries like you had at Pinehurst mm-hmm. last year. How big of a difference is that to make that adjustment?
That's a tough question. You know, I mean, it's kind of different. It's not really. I feel like I try to always be the guy that, you know, I feel like I could hang out in any crowd, if that kind of makes sense. And I think that is a blessing. You know, I feel like I could hang out with the president of the United States, or I feel like I could hang out with just a normal guy, because that's what I am. And I know everybody's normal because I've been, you know, like at Pinehurst, or like, you know, like last year at the AM, there, you know, they just treat you like you're different. I'm like, I told a kid, this little kid, he's like, his dad, and I took a picture with him before the final match, and his dad says, he took a picture with Jack Nicklaus and Jordan Spieth and Arnold Palmer, and I said, you know the thing about them? I said, they're just like you. He said, what do you mean? I said, they put their pants on the same way, and they tie their shoes, and they slide their socks on. And so I think that's the way I look at people. And then the golf side of that is people moving around, you know, they're moving behind the hole. And so I'm very comfortable with, like, stepping off a shot and saying, hey, can you be still, you know? And it's kind of awkward because they feel bad, even though I would probably be doing the same thing if I was in their shoes. But no, I think the bigger the crowd, the more fun it is, you know, because they are cheering and, I mean, oh, yeah, you know, it's like, it's just that to me is fun. And so it's kind of, I mean, it's going to be weird at the USAM. We're only allowed to bring two guests, one caddy, wow, and one guest. Like, I'm getting caddy that's up there, and so it's only me and my wife going, and that's kind of weird, but, you know, it'll be, I think it'll be televised, I don't know, so, but it's just different playing around the crowds. College golf, you know, you don't have that. I can't even get my parents to come out and watch me. I mean, I guess I'm not, you know, no, they've got stuff they've got to do, and they take care of the dog when I'm gone, so, but no, it's a little different. But I like it.
I'm about to say it. So that's going to be this year's USAM is going to be a little more familiar setting in terms of the gallery and stuff like that. It's going to be a lot more like what you have playing here.
Exactly. And I think it's a shame because, like, it just, you know, you're in a special place. And, you know, they, at the semifinals last year, they've got the US Open trophy, and there's 1,000 people around you. And, I mean, like I said, the frustrating thing to me is, like, these people don't think you're human, and you're like, I've got problems just like you, buddy, you know? And so that's kind of the weird thing, but it's just so cool to see, you know, all these people, they just want to watch you play. And so, you know, the other good thing about it is they make really good targets. So, like, you know, they'll be like 300 yards away. I'm like, that guy in the, you know, the white bucket hat or whatever. Or, like, my friend, he said he was standing in the spot because he's like, he wanted me and the caddy to aim at him on one hole. He's like, he's in a red shirt. And I mean, there was like probably 50 or 60, there's probably 100 in the gallery at the North South in the final match. But he was sticking out because he's in a bright red shirt. And we were like, we're going to aim at him, you know. So they give good targets. So
one of the things you talked about when talking about your comfort level playing at Pinehurst, and obviously a career goal is to play in the U.S. Open. Well, the U.S. Open being at Pinehurst 4 years from now, you've got 4 years to get your game in that spot. How special would that be for you to be able to return to Pinehurst in a U.S. Open?
You know, like I said, I thought I was going to turn pro right when I graduated, right when I was done with college golf. But, you know, I came back for another year with the coronavirus, which is what I needed to do. But going back to Pinehurst, I'm like, you know, I've had 3 days to think about it. I want to win a tournament there really, really, really bad. And so I might stay amateur enough to play in the North South again next year, just because I love the place and I want to play well there. But making the U.S. Open there would be, I mean, just, I don't think I could put into words how blessed I would be to play there. That being said, if I got it and I made it, I can't put into words how much I want to win there. So, I mean, hanging around, we hang around a couple of days after usually, you know, at Pinehurst because we have friends there. And, you know, all week you're playing this course and you're so focused on game plan and what you're going to do. And then, like, we just went and played and I'm wearing tennis shoes and pushing my car, you know, Keith's not even on the back, you know. I just hop out on and played with some friends, and you know, you look at the beauty of the course, and you, I mean, the whole day after that, after the North South, I was thinking, man, I could just move here. Like, it's just, I mean, it's so awesome, the course, and you've got nine of them, and then you've got the cradle, and then all the people are just, I mean, I have like 20 friends there. I'm not even like that. I feel like would give me the shirt off their back, and I do the same for them. And so I'm like, man, I should move there. And then I text one of the guys yesterday trying to get somebody's phone number, and he said, man, you need to move here. And I text him back. I said, nobody ever wins a U.S. Open at their home course. I said, but a lot of people move to a place they win a U.S. Open at. So that's my goal, is to win the U.S. Open there for sure.
Win the Open and then move to Pinehurst. Move
there. Yeah, I have a house there for sure.
I like it. That's a good plan.
Yes, sir.
Tell you what, you play in the Open in 2024, I'm there.
Yes, sir. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of orange there.
I will be there on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
Ready to go. You know, talking about Pinehurst, and, you know, I think that was one of the things that really struck me about that community. When we went last year, is just how golf that community, and how they embrace everything about the game there. And after your round last year, Brant and I went to a little tavern over by the course, and it was amazing. The place was packed, and I looked around, and I bet I recognized half the people in the restaurant.
You saw them in the crowd.
Because they were out on the, I saw them out on the course, and they all just, you know, they all just kind of moved, you know, from the course over to the restaurant. And
you feed them, they'll come.
And I looked around and just, you know, they were all noticeably golf people, you know, and just you could see it in that community. So I'm sure just that aspect of it as well. And you talk about the nine courses that are there. You know, everybody always talks about, you know, Pinehurst number two gets the headlines, but just that whole community, it's a really neat place.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I know the Cradle has done a lot for the club, and, you know, there's – I wonder how many golf courses there are in Moore County, but, I mean, they, you know, they've got another fantastic club, Country Club of North Carolina, really close to there, and, you know, Pine Needles, I think that's where they play the Women's U.S. Open customarily, except for in 2014. I mean, they've got so many – different golfing opportunities. You know, you drive around, you're seeing little par three courses cut out of the woods, a driving range, and you know, it is very golf centered. And my wife talked to one man, and he said when he was a kid, he said, I'm gonna live on an 18 hole course. And I don't know how he chose Pinehurst, but he chose Pinehurst. And then I've talked to several people, at least five people, that said they moved to Pinehurst for Pinehurst number two for that golf course because they love it that much.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, maybe it's like there was just 20 people that loved golf that much and lived in Pinehurst, and then so everybody that came, they're like, man, they love it, so they're living here. Well, you know, it's like just kind of like a domino effect. And so, no, but it's great. There's, you know, there's little kids out playing the Cradle. If I was a kid and I grew up with a Cradle, I would be not sure. I mean, you can't have a bad short game on the Cradle. I mean, it's like, it's fun and it's short, but it's like so like crazy with the slopes and the greens and how everything is. And it's in good shape. And
I can't imagine terribly different than what you grew up playing on in Crockett, though.
I mean, the conditions are a little better there, but no, it's the same kind of thing, though. I mean, you're growing up on a little short course. I mean, you could be 6 years old, you could be 5 years old, 4 years old, and you can play it like a real golf course. You know, they might be hitting drivers, but it's like fun, and it's not too hard for them to walk. They don't have to focus that long, and everybody's out there having a good time. And it's all about, you know, kind of growing the game. And I think that really, I know I've read something about how the president said that the cradle invigorated Pinehurst and it kind of revamped just their marketing and everything. And so I think, it just seems like such an awesome place to live and grow up. And it's so fun to even just to go play the cradle. We played three holes and there was like 1,000 people out there and it was like almost dark and we're like, you know, we were just like, okay, we shouldn't have came because there's just so many people, but it's beautiful to see that. And then, you know, we had to go to dinner, but all these people are still playing, you know, they're sitting there waiting 10 minutes to play 100 yard hole with a green that's got, you know, 5,000 slopes in it. Like, it's crazy the way, you know, they love golf and, you know, the kids out there, they're the U.S. kids and they had a tournament like every day. And I'm like, what is going on?
And they've got a record board.
Yeah.
That's right there.
On the cradle.
And your name's on it. Why?
It's on it twice. And, you know, just dumb luck. I hit two hole-in-ones in a row. I don't know how. Who knows how? It was crazy. I didn't even hit a good shot on one of them. I hit it way left, but one of those 5,000 slopes just caught the ball and took it right to the bottom of the cup. So
back to back holes.
Hole number 3 and 4. 3 is like a toilet bowl. Everything's going to the bottom every time. So it doesn't really. It's like there's an asterisk by 3 because it's the hole everyone hits a hole in one.
Yeah.
On. But 4 is a good one. It's 120 yards downhill, and I hit it. A little thin shot left of the hole, and it looked like it was, like, on a magnet. It just looked like it was just going right in. I was like, how does that even happen? And, the guys playing with me, they're like, oh, my gosh, that's crazy. They're like, we need to buy you drinks. I'm like, I'm good, you know. But because that's a customary thing in golf. You buy the drinks after you hit hole-in-one for everybody who played within your party.
Yeah.
So.
Was this right after your round? Was it the next day? It was like two days before.
The USGA had a little par 3 competition. They just try to have fun stuff and nice stuff for us. And so me and one of my buddies played, and then some just random guys joined us. But they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good time.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming season for you guys. And is there a sense of just kind of unfinished business because the season y'all didn't get a chance to finish this last year? Just as you look ahead to this next, you know, what's going to be your super senior season now? Just what's the mindset? What's the approach like for you?
So for me, I think my goals have, they've gone up, and, they've changed and stuff, and I probably need to sit down and write them down. That way I can – have them solidified. But, my goal is to leave Sam Houston better than I found it and to be a good team leader and teammate. And, I'm kind of in an awkward area where, it's like I'm a man, but I'm, like coach is my coach. And, there's a lot of things that we have to do that, and it's like I'm a man and then you got like a freshman. Like I was a boy when I was a freshman, and so it's just kind of weird. Like it's just a weird dynamic. But, our goals as a team for sure are to win. And, I want to win a national championship so bad. One of my buddies in Pinehurst, I didn't even know this, he told me he played in the national championship. And so I was like, man, that's, he thinks what I'm doing is cool, but I think what he did was cool, And so grass is always greener on the other side. But, I think we'll have an asterisk by it, but we want to three-peat in conference. We've never done that as a program. And I think our other goal is just to – well, my goal is just to push the guys, and I want the guys to push me. I don't want to just be average, and I know Coach doesn't want that, and I'm just a product of what coach, you know, coaches. And so I'm super blessed to get to play for him again. And I'm looking forward to the season. I'm ready to get after it. I want to dominate as a team. And it's going to be the hardest year in college golf, whether you know, all these people are coming back. And then, like, I mean, have you seen the PGA Tour? I mean, it's like crazy what they're doing. I mean, these guys are coming back and they're stronger and faster and better. And, you know, and I mean, some of them are a little looser, and that's the way I was my first week back. But, you know, I think that we're in a really good position to play really well. I'm looking forward. I didn't think I'd ever get to play with Paul. And so that's pretty cool to me, you know, and I'm
talk about another guy, Paul Chaplet,
yes, sir,
who's been at the highest level of golf. I mean,
I'm nothing compared to that guy. I mean, what a piece.
You talk about somebody who's played competitively in Augusta.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty big time there. So, you know, you talked about how you and Noah would push each other and how y'all were that dynamic that y'all had. So is that something you feel like you and Paul can kind of play off of each other a little bit, or, you know, what pushes you this year?
Well, I think one thing and that's kind of what, you know, just to be honest, I'm really bummed about Noah. You know, I mean, he has a way better opportunity on Team Canada, and, you know, like, they have an awesome program for him. But, man, I wish I was playing with that guy again, because it was like, basically, I feel like I got from 0 to 90 really good, really fast, and Noah was like at 75 for a while. But it's like Noah got from 75 to 100, like, really, really fast. I have so much respect for that guy and his game. I mean, he's an amazing player, and him being as good as he played last year pushed me really hard. And, I mean, he still does, because I know he's doing the right things all the time. But, you know, I'm really going to miss that for sure. And to speak on Paul, I mean, he does the right things all the time. But the thing is, he's only been with us for like 3 months. Like, I've only known him for 3 months, so I don't really know. I mean, I've never seen him play in a tournament, you know, that sort of thing.
And a good chunk of that, y'all have been spent
exactly,
away from each other,
we're
too.
Playing in tournaments, and, you know, he's having to, you know, sit because he can't, you know, he's, I don't know what the rules are or whatever, he just couldn't play. But no, I mean, he playing qualifying with him and stuff, he's got some game. And so you know, the good thing is, when you're around good players and you're practicing with them, you know, he showed me some shots and stuff like that. And so that, you know, I really like his personality. I like him as a person. So but I hope he pushes me as hard as Noah did, and I hope I push him as hard as Noah pushed me, because I hope everybody's pushed as hard as, you know, we can be, because that really creates a culture that can go the distance and win a national championship. Is just brutal. Everybody working really hard, you know, nobody wanting to lose to anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a senior versus a freshman. And I think, you know, that's one of the things that really helped me become good early on, is because I don't really like people saying, well, you're a freshman, you have time. You have time. Like, you never know. You might fall over tomorrow, so you want to win today. So, but that – I'm looking forward to the year and helping the team out, and the team helping me out, and working out and just getting better. I'm really looking forward to being around Coach and Robert Thompson and Tommy, and I mean, they've helped me so much. And, you know, that's kind of what I tell people, is like, it's such a developmental program compared to other schools, you know.
Well, y'all have facilities. I mean, everything is in place here,
exactly,
to take your game
to the next level,
to another level. And so, you know, I know when I was talking to Coach Kieschnick about just what the process was and everything like that, and, you know, how the conversations were going with you before I knew what your decision was going to be, I think he felt like the facilities were going to be, you know, that you're going to have a chance to develop your game over the next 6 months, because even at the time, there's still a question of what's going to be going on the pro tour. And, you know, how long is it going to be lasting? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could shut down next week. So, you know, with all the questions and then the facilities in place here to continue to develop yourself as a golfer, I think he felt like that was a
– For sure.
That was something that was going to factor into your decision.
I mean, and that for sure did. I mean, I'm going to live in Huntsville most likely after I graduate anyways. But being, you know, and I mean, my relationship with Coach, like – I see – that's the thing about Sam Houston that I don't think – I think we, you know, need to do a better job of. It's like marketing the community behind Sam Houston Golf. You know, I've got a lot of good friends that play down in Conroe that played – some of them played with Coach, and they're around his age. And they just – they want you to succeed. And just playing with them and just – playing under Coach and with Robert and just we go and have dinner at one of the tournaments at the Boatner's house, and Logan Boatner, he played like 5 years before me, and you know, he's talking to me about golf, and you know, I know they like link up, and you know, JT is like one of my best friends I talk to all the time. You know, he's just a mentor to me. And so, you know, the culture behind Sam Houston Golf as a family, I think it really helps you. And, I mean, I'm going to probably stay around and be a part of that, the receiving or the giving end rather than the receiving end in a year or so. But no, that being around here and all – I mean, we get access to so many great courses in Houston and the Woodlands and Whispering Pines. I mean, we're very, very blessed. And that had to do a lot with when I was getting recruited. I grew up on nine holes. So, you know, it's pretty appealing. You get to play like, 900 holes instead of nine holes, you know. So, it's funny, you know. Like, even hearing my parents, they were talking about my dad playing in the scramble the other day. He was talking about one of the holes at Spring Creek. It's only nine holes. And he's like, number four. And I was like, course four. Like, I don't know, because I've been at Pinehurst all week and there's nine courses, you know. And so, but, I mean, it's just awesome, you know, my community back in Crockett. And I just feel like all of East Texas really, you know, supports Bearcat Golf, and it's great. So
I think we could talk another hour. We'll go ahead and end it here. We'll bring you back in a few months once we get the season going. But it's good to have you back. We're going to enjoy having you for another year. I'm glad.
Yes, sir.
Glad you made this decision. And let's get back to a regional. Let's make a run at a regional. Let's
make a run at a national championship.
At a national championship, right. Absolutely. And then in 4 years, I'll see you back at Pinehurst.
That sounds good.
All right. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I want to thank Will Holcomb for joining us for our Season 3 premiere. And we'll have more for you next time here on Chasing the Cup. If you like what you're hearing from us this year, be sure and rate and review the show. If you're not subscribing to Chasing the Cup, you can do so on Apple, Google, and Spotify.
Chasing the Cup is recorded in the Bearcat Sports Network studios in the new Wood Forest Athletic Center. This week's episode was written and produced by Jason Barfield. Broadcast calls are courtesy ESPN. The songs Hot Shot and Clear Progress are courtesy ScottHolmesMusic.com. This has been a presentation of the Bearcat Sports Network.